Please be seated. Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. I had no idea how many people would be here this morning, and I'm delighted to worship with you. So I hope that you traveled here safely. Talking about traveling, in the bulletin, the preacher today is Mac Murray, and I'm not Mac, but it's very icy outside of their home, and so he's safely staying at home, which was an opportunity last minute to read to you the message, the Christmas message from our presiding bishop, Michael Curry. And Michael Curry, you know, we don't often get to hear from our presiding bishop in our parishes on Sunday mornings because you hear from people like me. And I found his Christmas message poignant and particularly relevant. So I'd like to share it with you. So this is Presiding Bishop Michael Curry's Christmas message. I read a book by Roberta Bondi, who was teaching at Emory University at that time, and the title of this book is called To Love as God Loves. Professor Bondi in that book looked at and examined the early Christians, and the thing that she observed, which her book is about, is that the early Christians saw their vocation of following Jesus as learning how to love as God loves, the title of the book. And this is true, I believe, Presiding Michael Curry says. When we look at the New Testament, the stories of Jesus, particularly the stories around Christmas, we see glimmers of Jesus showing us how to love as God loves. These Christmas stories we found in Luke that we read throughout Advent and Christmas Eve and Matthew that we read now, they actually show us something particular about acting in love as God loves. And you all know the stories, the Christmas stories, the babe wrapped in swaddling cloth, found in Luke's gospel, and we have our pageant actor Jesus here with us this morning, who just lovely laid in the manger on Christmas Eve. I've never seen anything like it. The babe that was born of Mary, the stories of Mary when she was pregnant and she met Elizabeth, the words that she sang, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." We know these stories of Mary giving birth in a manger because there was no room for her in the inn. We also know the stories of the shepherds in the fields beholding the angel choir, Gloria in Excelsis Deo. The stories of a baby who is born. These stories, these Christmas stories, they're full of hope and they're full of beauty. For as the Jewish tradition says, every child who is born is a reminder that God is not done with us yet. And in this case, in this season, the baby that was born was named Jesus. The Gospel of Matthew, though, that I just read, tells all these same stories, but highlights another dimension. It reminds us of the way God loves. In Matthew's story, yes, a child is born, and there is great beauty and amazing hope in it, but there also is extreme difficulty. The Gospel of Matthew does mention and highlights the difficulty in the relationship between Joseph and Mary when she was pregnant before they were actually married. An angel intervenes and tells Joseph, "This child is God's miracle." Joseph accepts his responsibility, and he cares for Mary, and he cares for the baby who is to be born. And that all kind of goes along, and we also hear about the star and the magi and the wise men, and all that is beautiful, but then it takes a sudden dark turn, which you just heard. Surrounding the hope of God being part of humanity, is surrounded by this tinge of very ugly bigotry and tyranny and injustice and hatred. We have a selfish king, Herod, who hears rumors of a rival to his throne, that rival has been born, and he executes children to stamp out that rival. This is the context in the Gospel of Matthew in which Jesus is born. Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus, when he is born, they are forced to flee as refugees, seeking political asylum, eventually in Egypt, because of the wrath of King Herod. And they are saved from that destruction. But let me tell you that many children died. In the late 1930s, the Episcopal Church embarked on efforts to save refugees from fleeing tyranny and injustice and bigotry and hatred in Europe at the advent of the Second World War. In the Episcopal Church, Episcopalians, many Christians, many Jewish people, people of goodwill, people seeking human decency, they worked together in so many different ways to save as many refugees as they could. And at that time, the Episcopal Church started the ministry, the Episcopal Migration Ministries. And as they created this logo, which we, in December, our focus was refugees, remember? It's not the most clear, but I'm sure you have seen it because it's been around for a long time. It's the image of Mary holding baby Jesus riding on a donkey, and Joseph is watching and walking with them. And what this sign and logo of Episcopal Migration Ministries, it has said for the last 80 years, more than that, is in the name of these refugees, aid all refugees. All of the Christmas stories are reminders that this Jesus came to show us how to love as God loves. And one of the ways that we love as God loves is to help those who are refugees, those who seek asylum from political tyranny, those who seek help from poverty, those who seek help from famine, and quite frankly, any other hardship. In the 1930s, Episcopalians did this to love as God loves. And today, ministries like the Episcopal Migration Ministries and the work of this church, how we had a giving tree for Episcopal resettlement for Afghan families. This is the work of the church. This is what Presiding Bishop Michael says. He said, we have helped to resettle just in 2021 over 100,000 refugees. And this work goes on from Afghanistan and from other places around the world. The Christian vocation, as Jesus taught us, is to love as God loves. And in the name of these refugees, let us help all refugees. My add is that for our giving trees, we had two this year at this parish, one for new beginnings, ending violence towards children, and another for the resettlement of Afghani refugees here in the state of Washington. For that ministry alone, you all gave $1,400 on Christmas Day to that ministry. I'm proud of that. We should be proud of this work. These are types of work, as many others, that we are called to. So this Christmas, as we're concluding Christmas, I'll end with one of my favorite prayers at the end of Christmas. I hope it's familiar to you, and if it's not, I hope it will be, by Howard Thurman. When the song of the angels is stilled, and the star in the sky has gone home, and when the kings and the princes are back at home, and when the shepherds are back with their flocks, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, and to bring peace to among the people, and to make music in your heart. Friends, Merry, Merry Christmas. I pray that all of the hope and all of the beauty and all of the work that is in front of us, by doing it together, we can love as God loves.